Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Yeah, we're just listening to music. This is, like I said, the music is better than the show.
This should just be a music show.
We could just run a non-stop music ordeal. I'll reach out to Matt in 1 second. Matt, you can rip me or whatever. Went to see Bret Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday.
Yes, yes.
Right, okay.
I got to be honest with you. And you know, I was supposed to go to the Hall of Fame, and, you know, this was a family thing, and we had some meetings to discuss and whatever.
Sure.
My brother, we started it before COVID. Stop for COVID, and it's just been brought back. Where his thing is, you get to Atlanta, where he lives,
yeah,
and he takes care of everything.
You yeah,
know, dinner, the tickets, and when you know our tickets. That's how I met you. Was those yeah, tickets? So at first he was disappointed because he got row 3.
Yeah,
row 3 is 3 rows too far away from the stage for my brother.
Right,
right. And I'm like, really? That's the concert you chose? Of yeah, all the, now he did pick Guns N' Roses first, and then COVID hit. So it was Bret Michaels. It's the guy from, God, I can't remember that. Well, no, not Poison. The other guy that was singing with him. Summertime. What's the guy's name? Mark McGrath. A really bad singer that used to sing for Journey. Night Ranger. And I think I'm missing one more. But I'll tell you what. Huh? Jefferson Starship.
Right, okay.
It was 1,000 times better than I ever expected.
Of course. All those tunes were great.
Well, again, Jefferson Starship, it's not her singing.
Of course.
Knight Rider did a thing that I've never seen before, which was cool, on the drums.
Night Ranger.
That's what I said.
No, you said Knight Rider. Was David Hasselhoff there?
He was. Well, yeah. Again, you know, Hasselhoff is huge in Europe.
I know. I've worked with him many times over there. It's a freakish experience working with David over there.
I believe he had a scheduled concert that got pulled. It got canceled because it was the night of the O.J. Simpson drive that nobody was going because they're watching O.J.
Yeah. He's a very smart publicist, is David, and he had that jacket made, and he had every intention of jumping on that wall. But then it just kind of became this whole bigger thing, you know.
Right.
But I've worked with David a few times. But walking around Germany and Austria and places like that with David is still to this day is like walking around with Elvis.
He's a rock star.
Oh my God! But he's he's a cool guy.
But no, I did not take Knight Rider to Knight Ranger.
Yeah. By the way, that would be the collaboration I think we all want. You know, maybe Knight Rider with the music of Knight Ranger.
Yeah. Having Kit drive and I don't have to drive, that would be fantastic. but it was it was a great concert if you get a chance to see him. And Bret Michaels, have you worked with him?
Nope.
Nicest guy.
I met him once with a good friend of mine, and he was they were doing an event for your Marine Corps, and he was fantastic with a lot of sort of injured Marine Corps guys and girls, and I think he's very, very pro the troops. He does a lot of stuff to help the troops, kind of charities and the services. And and listen, these concerts are great because the music's great.
Yeah.
It's just kind of stupidly brilliant. It's cheesy, and it is what it is, but it reminds us of all of a better time.
Is it possible, and Matt, you can answer this as well, you know, Jimmy, when you're on stage, is it possible for somebody to be too nice? Like, is it almost overboard when you're too nice?
Do you want to go first, Matt? Maybe we should turn the question on to Randy.
I think you, like, historically speaking, if the people are way too nice, they're usually hiding some kind of big secret that comes out later, right?
Matt, by you saying that, it proves that I have no secrets.
That's true, because you're not nice to anybody.
All right,
no, but I mean, it can't be too nice. And I don't know Bret, but I mean, it seems like, you know, he seems to be like one of those real people, you know, and we've had access to these celebrities at Comic Cons and different places, you know. Richard Karn was one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Until he hung up on us. So
he called back.
No, he did.
Who's, by the way, who's Richard Karn? Forgive me.
He was in Home Improvement. More importantly, he sells the Silver Bullet. isn't that what it's called? The, you know, the hose that, that wraps real small, and then when you turn it on, it, it expands.
Right.
Okay. The commercial that runs nonstop.
Got you.
He did Family Feud for a while.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we set up the interview because he was just at Comic-Con, and sometimes they ask, and you know, the interviews are typically 8 to 10 minutes.
Sure.
I believe we went 19. Yeah. And he had to go somewhere. And he goes, hold on a second. And he disconnected and got to his car.
Yeah.
And then we called back, and then he connected it to the car, and we finished.
Right, okay. I got you.
Good guy.
That's great. To be honest with you, those people, in my experience, those people that have been there and done it tend to be the like amazing. And those people that have kind of like half done it or would love to do it at a different level and they never quite got there, they tend to be the ones that are the pain, in my experience, anyway.
And then let's not forget about the nicest guy in all of the sports, Jake Paul. But Jake Paul in his big victory over the weekend.
I'm waiting to hear Jimmy talk about Jake Paul.
I wish you could see Randy's face right now.
Yeah, because I know the trick I'm out. As everybody knows, I'm big Paul brothers.
Do you know what? The funny thing is, you watch it and you go, we watched the fight and I refused to pay for it. I was just like, I just can't do it. My father would kill me if he even found out that
that you watched it.
But a friend of mine said, listen, I'll spring for it. I'll pay the $80. And we watched it. And, you know, you find yourself having a couple of drinks and afterwards going, this isn't boxing. I'm not putting that down as boxing. However, these two young lads have stepped into two different fields. You know, well, I mean, one in wrestling now with, and I know Logan's done the boxing. But you have to kind of respect and go, these lads are in their mid-20s. They have carved out a little niche for themselves. They make themselves popular. They produce these events all over the world against these legends. They make people believe that Nate Diaz is a good boxer, which he isn't. But they use... Listen, they're marketing geniuses, these two kids. And to be honest with you, right now, I don't think it's boxing. I'm not having the boxing thing. But I do go, I have a lot of respect for their business kind of acumen of going, we know how to make money and we know how to get eyes on the, I don't like the idea. Oscar De La Hoya, who I'm not entirely a big fan of, but Oscar De La Hoya said, it's great because they're putting eyes on the sport. And I'm going, oh, come on. I mean, I think that's a shill. You're a shill. This isn't putting eyes on the sport. However, it's entertaining. Listen, we all watched it. We had a couple of beers. And you go, this is great, hoping for Nate Diaz to knock him out. But he's not going to knock him out. Not from what I can tell. There may be certain arrangements. I can't confirm or deny that. But I'm told that there's certain little arrangements in there. But either way, listen, the guys make money and they do it well. And, I mean, good luck to them.
And I'm going to respond this way before you, Matt. I'm going to respond to this way because you know I'll forget. I always say, and it's kind of like me going to slap three and you know the consequences and what I suffered. I always say, if you haven't seen it, if you haven't done it, you don't have a room to talk about it.
Right.
I'm going to flip it. If you've seen Jake Paul fight, you don't have a room to bitch about it. You paid the money. You know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying in reverse. We know what Jake Paul is. You know, it's an entertainment. It's not boxing. But for people to then say, well, I watched it and he's not a boxer. Yeah, we know that. You knew that before you did it.
I've got to say, though, I do know some people that have been in part of the early team with him, and he does apply himself. So at a good amateur level, he's actually at a good amateur level now where he's very well conditioned. Listen, if you can last 10 rounds in a ring with Nate Diaz in any kind of combat sport from a purely conditioning point of view, that needs to be applauded. And I think the guy's doing the right thing. And his brother, the same. When you watch the WWE, you see his brother flinging himself off top ropes through tables and stuff, and you're going, these were Disney kids.
Right.
You know, and he literally decided, I want to be a WWF wrestler, which I think initially gets taken on as being disrespectful to those that have trained. But you get the feeling that he's just spent 2 years, probably down in Orlando at the Performance Institute, learning the craft.
Yep.
Putting the dedication in, and then he goes out and he kills it in front of 70,000 people, and you go, it's to be respected. It really is, you know.
Everybody finds a different route, you know,
huge,
to something.
Hugely.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, so I'm going to piggyback off of that. One, I was the first one to the slap party, supporting it, talking about it, promoting it at the Super Bowl even, when I got, you know, yelled at for being a fan. So I tell you, actually experienced it.
Hold on. I'm going to interrupt you, A, because it's my show. I'm going to say you were far from supporting it.
Okay? Oh, I was supporting it. Of course, I thought it was awesome.
When you're asking non-slap fighters and non-UFC fighters to talk about Slap. You know, it's kind of the thing. What's his name from Showtime?
Who?
The guy who we interviewed and you talked about, you know, that Dana doesn't like.
Stephen Espinosa.
Right. When you ask Stephen Espinosa about anything related to Dana White, you know it's going to go a negative way. Yeah, he's not going to say anything good, just like Dana said last night. You know, so bringing it up to them isn't really saying that you're supporting Slap. I'm going to say this, though. After now being the two of them, I think it's phenomenal. But go ahead.
By the way, before you continue, Matt, I feel like a marriage counselor between you two. I just think you need to take a break from each other, have a couple of weeks.
We've tried.
Maybe send some flowers. And we can get this relationship back on track.
But I'm just waiting for, like, the, hey, you were right, I'm sorry. You know, like, I'm waiting for an apology. That's all.
Well, not today. You know, if you ever come up with anything that needs an apology from me, I'll get it.
Matt, I've got to tell you something quite funny. When we arrived at the Apex this morning, it's normally, for those that, you know, don't know, normally this would take place on a Wednesday. This is the big media day, but they've changed it because of the amount of stuff that's going on here at the UFC. So I arrive last out of the three of us. So when I arrived at the security desk, you know, they give you the security bands and you go up to the studio and whatnot.
I'm starting to blow up.
So as I arrived at the desk, the security guy, which I know he's been here a long time, he comes over and goes, hey, Jim. He says, there you go. He says, there's your wristband. And they put these pink UFC wristbands on you. And he said,
why do they give media pink? I'm just asking. I like pink. I wear pink.
I don't.
I'm just saying.
So he said to us, he said, here's your pink wristbands. And he went, look, he went, the other two guys are upstairs already in the studio. I went, okay. And I just about to go up the stairs. And he went, look, he says, we've got a problem. I says, why? And he says, we've given them the wrong wristbands. He said, would you mind taking up the new wristbands to your producer, Steve, and to Randy? I said, not a problem. And I said, by the way, I says, what color have they got? And he went, they've got green ones on. I went, what does green mean? He went, and he kind of looked at me, paused, sweating, and went, I think that means that they're fighters. So I'm like, them two are up there, and people that don't know are just walking around seeing these two with the green wristbands going, oh, geez, the UFC needs some work.
Yeah, so much for the performance center.
So someone from the security desk has just been fired, just to let you know.
I am the UFC heavyweight eating champion.
But going back to the Jake Paul part, and maybe I was a little late to the party, so, you know, I didn't really understand what Jason Knight was talking about the agreement he had, you know, how they both decided beforehand to, like, stand and bang and not try to take whatever advantage to win the fight for themselves personally. So, I mean, so in the Jake Paul stuff, you know, if that's part of it, you know, and it's all just for entertainment, I mean, how can you really be upset that it's not a real boxing match? You know what I mean?
I get what you mean. I think there's just a, you know, I've put together, you know, saying, listen, this is what your fee is. By the way, if you win by knockout, you know, your bonus fee is going to be slightly less than it's going to be. I mean, it's all kind of legal and fine. But I think people that fight Jake Paul in those kind of situations are just going in there to just make a ton of money and just get out and go back to whatever they normally do. But I don't know. I just don't see it as a purist. I think it's entertainment.
Smart move for sure. We'll talk more about Dana and Jake and Logan and a whole lot more. But when we come back, last night's opponent to Jason Knight, Kurt Hollebaugh, when we return. This is Knockout Radio. Brock Hong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is Franco Harris, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070. Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Juice Newton, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I know we're on. I know. Just listening. Good stuff. Momentarily, we will be speaking to Kurt Hollebaugh, the opponent to Jason Knight last night. Jason was on the first hour, kind of gave us some of the insight, as Jason has been on each and every week leading up to the finale, which is, I would assume, in a couple weeks. You're saying it may even be posted?
Yeah, I think it's the 19th of August. I think it's at UFC 292, I think.
Well, that's like in a week.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, thanks for telling me. No, I got to book a flight.
There you go.
All right. So, without further ado, let's welcome back to the program, Kurt Hollebaugh. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm doing great.
We appreciate your time again. Welcome back. And as always, we are always talking up to, you know, last night's episode, and let's get right into it. Much anticipated, you know, to talk about the episode, and then let's talk about the fight.
For sure, let's do it.
Give me your thoughts on the episode as you watch it back.
You know, it was just like I remembered, right? You know, me and all the guys in the house, like Jason, you know, we all create a really strong bond throughout that time being in the house and helping each other train, helping each other stay motivated. You know, everybody missed their family, everybody missed back home, but at the same time, you know, we're there getting good work training, and then we defeat all of Conor McGregor's team, so we happen to fight each other. And, you know, that was pretty much how I remember everything going down. And, you know, it was kind of a bittersweet thing. Yeah, I got matched up with Jason Knight, and I fought Jason. But, you know, it's just, you know, one of us had to win, one of us had to lose. And, you know, good thing is we're both healthy, we're both moving on, hopefully, to big things.
And Jason said the same thing. And, you know, the first thing that I thought about, and we all know another organization, two really close friends, I believe they were godparents to each other's children, whatever, you know, they had a fight and it went totally, totally different. You know, talk about, and Jason said that you guys had an agreement that you both obviously stuck to. You know, you were going to keep it standing, you were going to throw punches, and you were going to have a fist fight. You know, talk about the agreement and talk about that.
Yeah, so we both know what kind of fighters we are, right? We've been around each other for, you know, 10, 11 years. We were supposed to fight, you know, 10, 11 years ago. And since then, you know, we've been really cool. We've been friends, always see each other at the local shows. We live about an hour and a half apart. And, you know, we've always been cool. So we always have been big fans of each other and our style. So our thought was, hey, look, man, we're both going to the semifinals. You know, we know how this works. Normally, a lot of the guys that make it to the semifinals, win or lose, they still get that UFC call, especially if they put on a good performance. So me and Jason said, hey, look, let's do this, man. Let's not even shoot takedowns unless we are, like, absolutely desperate and we need it, right? So let's give Dana a show. Let's give the fans a show. Let's show everybody who we are and go out there and put on the best fight we possibly can. And that's what we did.
You know, and what that reminds me of, and I think I mentioned this to you before, started covering the UFC at UFC 1. UFC 11 was the first one I attended in person, covered every season of Tough. Back in the day, you know, which makes me sound even older, that's what this sport was all about. You know, it was about the sportsmanship. It's about you do you, I'll do me, let's have a fist fight, and we can be friends before and friends after. It's drifted away from that, and that's why I enjoyed this season and I enjoyed that fight last night. It's kind of old school for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, in the way I am, man, I don't hate nobody. I've never had an opponent that I'm like, I just didn't like. I've had some opponents, yeah, talk a little smack, say some stuff here and there, but, you know, I've never had beef with an opponent. I've had probably 30-something fights, so that's kind of crazy, but. And I actually like it better. I like it better when, you know, you're not getting caught up in all of that, you know, all of that pressure that you have to go out and kill this guy because he just talked bad about your family, you know. And the way it was with Jason, you know, it was, you know, if he wins, I'll be happy for him. You know, nobody likes to lose. Nobody likes to boss. But, you know, the way it was is we're friends. We're going to go out. We're going to fight. We're going to put on a performance, a good performance. May the best man win. If Jason would have won, I would have been just happy for Jason.
Hi, Kurt. This is Jimmy. Listen, I watched the fight last night, and we actually said to Jason earlier, and I think it's probably right to say it to you. First of all, as a fan of this sport, thank you for doing it the right way, because it's fights and fighters like you guys that make this sport what it is. And as I said to him, I said, we had lots of people that I watched the fight with. They were like, how can you literally shake someone's hand, share a prayer with someone, then get into an octagon wanting to literally take each other's heads off and then afterwards be so friendly? They said it. And then, of course, I'm saying, listen, that's what real fighters do. But I will say it was one hell of a battle. But now that you are where you are now, do you take a lot of encouragement from the fact that you've been to the big dance sort of before? You stepped away and now you're back. I remember that there's a part in the episode where they show you in the bathroom with Michael Chandler, and you actually said, listen, you know, when I'm on it, when I've got the focus, when I'm ready to go, I would back myself against anybody. Do you feel that now, because you've been there, you've experienced it, you realize the mistakes, do you feel now you're better placed to come back to the UFC with a bang, now knowing exactly what it's going to take?
Absolutely. You know, I've grown so much as a fighter, a person, you know, a father, a coach over the last, you know, couple years. And, you know, it's always that thing, I've made it to the UFC several times before, but, you know, I don't know what it was. Like, every time I make it to the UFC, I'm a little bit better and a little bit better. And I just feel like this time after going through the Tough House and how that makes you grow as a person and as a fighter, and, you know, fighting two times in 11 days like we did, that really helps out, and it really, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence. And being that I've been in the UFC many times, I feel more than ready for this.
Jason, I asked Jason, you know, what we didn't see on last night's episode, you know, that we can obviously talk about. And he said the conversation he had with Dana as he walked by. If he told Jason about this is the effing fight of the season, I'm curious what he told you.
Man, you know, I didn't talk to Dana. It was weird. Dana didn't have as much interaction with any of the fighters in the house, really, that you would think, like, on previous seasons. We didn't really see Dana. Dana never came to the house. The only time we really saw Dana was fight night and coach's challenge. and really, I never got a chance to say two words to Dana, really. The only thing I said to Dana, I looked through the cage after the fight with Jason, and I said, I told you, I'm glad you matched that fight because I told you what you was going to get.
And obviously, they definitely got it. A long season of filming. Then you go home. You know that you know, obviously, you're in the Valley, so you've been training nonstop. About 10 days left. Will it be nice to finally have this whole reality show and fight over?
You know, like I said earlier, it's kind of a bittersweet thing, man, because I'm enjoying it so much. Like, I've really, you know, I've fought in the UFC many times. I've fought in Madison Square Garden. I fought on the same card as John Jones, Daniel Cormier, Jose Aldo, Anderson Silva. You know, I've been around the world, and I've never had the type of exposure or fame that I've gotten from being on the show. And not to mention, like, we just had the Contender Series just kick off. I headlined the very first ever Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, and I've never gained so much following and so many fans as I have so far off of the Tough Show. So, yeah, in a sense, I'm ready for it to kind of be over so it can die down and I can feel like I can get a little rest, you know, get a little family time, man. Football season's about to kick up. Can't wait to, you know, watch some football and do my fantasy football and stuff like that. But at the same time, man, I'm on such a high, on such a roller coaster ride that I kind of don't want it to end.
You brought up NFL, so we'll switch for a second. Who's your team?
The New Orleans Saints. I'm from Louisiana.
Do you go to games?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll talk at the finale. We're a national show based out of Tampa, so obviously a big rivalry between the Saints and the Bucs.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can meet up, or maybe we can have some fun with that. You know, when those games come.
Oh, for sure, man. That'll be good. And, yeah, and then, like you guys can tell, like, I got the two Florida Lees on the back of my arm. So I've been a diehard Saints fan for, I want to say, since my very first football game watching was, like, 1996.
My two favorite New Orleans Saints stories, not that anybody cares, former running back of the Bucs went to the Saints, Aaron Stecker, returned a kickoff for a touchdown. Anybody who knows me, you know, I'm the most professional, at least I try to be. I don't cheer. You wouldn't know that I even care. Well, Aaron and I are still extremely close, and I'm like clapping under the table, you know, that Aaron just returned a kickoff for a touchdown against the team that you know, I cover on a regular basis. And then I ended up hosting Jonathan Casillas' radio show when he came to Tampa. And for people that don't know, Jonathan got the onside kick at the Super Bowl when your Saints won the Super Bowl in Miami.
Yep. Oh, that's good stuff, man.
Well, listen, Kurt, just one final thing. Now we're going into the final. What thoughts do you have on Austin? What you know? How are you approaching this? Are you approaching it any differently? Are you just going to keep your head down, stay focused? Is there any special kind of, you know? I mean, literally, yeah. Just how are you approaching this monumental fight in your career?
Yeah, just like any other fight, you know, just like any fight that I did in the house. Austin, another friend of mine, super great guy. Spent a lot of time with him in the house, had many conversations, bonded with Austin really well. It's going to be another fight just like with Jason. You know, we're going to have all the respect in the world for each other. I'm sure we'll get down to Boston and probably see each other, shake hands, have a conversation. You know, but then fight night, kind of like I said, you know, one guy's got to win, one guy's got to lose. That doesn't mean our dreams are shattered. You know, we both have done so much to be where we are. And just got to stay focused. May the best man win.
Well, I will say this, as a fan, the way, not only the way you fight, the way you carry yourself, the way that you have gone through this entire journey, and we said this thing, same thing to Jason, it's so nice, refreshing to see two absolute warriors, two real killers, have the dignity and the kind of honor that you guys have. So as a fan, you know, that's really very much appreciated in this day and age, pal.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Kurt, we appreciate your time. We'll get you back on in 2 weeks, and we'll talk about that fight as well. Enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Kurt Hollebaugh, last night's victor. Now again, and people, you know, that may just happen to tune in. They're like, it wasn't last night. Yes, I know that. It wasn't last night. It was a couple weeks ago. But, you know, every week we see another fight.
But of course, to everybody else, it was last night. So, you know, it was to me, you know.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's the way you look at it, like it was last night?
Yeah, because I'm like you. I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the way that they cover it from a social media point of view, it doesn't get covered. You know, the NDAs that are in effect. So I watch it like a normal reality TV show. It kind of makes it more exciting.
I do too. It's just, you know, those, what are they called? What does Joe Marquis call me? Not a troll. You know, when you say something and they're like, well, you know that it wasn't last night. It was, yes, I know, but it's brought out and it's a reality show and it is a lot of fun. So, all right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, more shenanigans. And we need to talk to Matt about last night's episode that he didn't watch. I guarantee it. But we'll talk to him about something when we return.
Neither did you. Not,
brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bernie Williams from the Yankees, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is BJ Upton from the Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I keep forgetting that Steve's videotaping this as I'm, you know, acting like a spaz or
dancing it something. Out, yeah. Dancing it out, lovely.
All right, so let's get into last night's another portion of last night's episode of Tough. Next hour, Chris Dock is stopping by, Jamie Pickett stopping by, Hakeem Dawodu will be by to talk about Saturday night. Matt, I'm going to assume, just by your disrespectful comment back to me, that you did not watch last night's Ultimate Fighter.
Well, neither did you.
Well, that's not true. I did watch some of it. Didn't watch
you
it
didn't
all.
Watch it last night. Last night was Wednesday. Today is Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
But here's my question, Randy. Here's my question, though. Like, what kind of things do you do, like, repetitively or consistently? You know, I know growing up, every Friday night was a certain restaurant. It was guaranteed that's where we went. But it's like a weekly thing. But, like, you know, the radio shows every Wednesday. So today, okay, doing it on a Thursday special day, it definitely throws off your routine. So what other things do you do, like, consistently that if it's broken, you feel kind of like you left your wallet at home or left your cell phone in the car? Like, well, what other things?
Fortunately, Steve couldn't hear you throw the dig about leaving your wallet at home. The thing that I try to do the most consistently, and then I need to ask you a question, is get up in the morning. That's very important to do that every morning. But I do have a question for you, and it is kind of related to the episode that you didn't watch on Monday or Tuesday. I know that you do the ice bath.
Yes.
Which is the new whatever. A lot of people do it, et cetera, et cetera. And I watched you put a couple people through it, the young man that's going to be fighting Johnny Dotson for the title tomorrow night. What is the shortest amount of time any of your people that you train or whatever have gotten in the ice bath, the ice tub, tube, barrel, whatever, and stayed in without getting out? What is the shortest period of time?
I mean, I've had people just have dunked in and popped straight back out. You know, it's just okay, such a shock, and they're so uncomfortable that they just, it's immediate. So, I mean, less than 3 seconds.
What is, just out of curiosity, what is the longest period someone has ever stayed in the ice barrel?
I would say that would be Caleb Bittenot, when he went, I don't know, 10 minutes at the club. Well, when he...
But in all defense, it's because Caleb couldn't get out. It's not that he stayed in purpose. He couldn't get out.
Well, Caleb's a professional athlete, and they've been conditioned to that for his whole career. So as soon as you get done playing football, you go straight into the ice tank for inflammation reduction, muscle recovery, repair. So it helps with the stiffness and the soreness of playing football. So he's been a lifetime cold bath, you know, athlete. But for people that have never done it before, it truly is shocking. And some people just literally can't handle it. They just pop in and just jump right back out.
My question for you is, this season's coach's challenge had the ice bath involved. I guess they asked questions, and Jimmy can, you know, fill us in a little bit more. So Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler both got in the ice bath and had to answer questions. How long do you think they stayed in the ice bath?
I'm going to say, that's a loaded question. I mean, at theory, because these guys are just absolute, you know, warriors, and they go to war every time.
Hey, shut up.
I'm going to say that they just stayed until the water just got hot, like 30 minutes, you know, just because their willpower and their discipline so intense.
Okay. Well, Matt, they actually did. It was one of these 10X systems. You know, 10X is obviously partnered with the UFC. They had the baths, but they had the cooling systems to keep them at the same temperature.
Uh-huh.
So they've kept at the same temperature, 35 degrees. I don't know what that is in, because I don't do, we do the other one.
Right.
Fahrenheit. But it was 35 degrees. Gotcha. And they had the, but so obviously the temperature remained the same. So, yes, what would you consider, as someone that does it a lot, as a healthy period of time to stay there?
Well, a healthy one's probably 3 to 5 minutes, 11 minutes total per week in duration.
So, I do these too. I go to the cryo chamber. I love a good ice bath. So, I'm happy to do, I could do 5 minutes in there, no problem. But then I grew up in you know, the Highlands
right.
of Scotland.
We're
so
anywhere.
So we just call it Monday. But,
outside.
But what Randy's kind of getting to is, yes, Dana had a real problem with it. Because what they did was they put the two of them in these baths. And the number that I was told was 37 minutes that they were in these baths. And to be honest with you, Michael Chandler looked, you know, he tried his best to keep a straight face and stuff, but he looked in some serious discomfort. And Dana, after the thing was recorded, has actually released a kind of statement saying this was ridiculous and I'm having a pop at the production team, suggesting that this, you know, you're dealing with two prized assets.
Yeah,
that's what 30. I believe they said 37 minutes, including all the filming. They were in there for 37 minutes.
And I guess the best part of the whole thing, Matt, is that Conor McGregor finally got a victory.
Yeah, well, that's nice. But you know, like here's the thing: when you're dealing with athletes, military, special forces, their willpower, their is so intense that their conscious mind overrides like their danger of just survival. And so when I train athletes in the sympathetic nervous system, I'm mindful that, you know, I know that they have a no quit going out on their shield, willing to die instead of look bad in front of a bunch of people in a crowd or strangers, where, you know, as your internal blood oxygen levels drop lower, Jimmy, eventually your body has a shut off safety valve where it will make you pass out. You'll get lightheaded. You'll come down off my truck, you'll pass out, and then your body will save all the remaining oxygen for your brain for survival. So no matter how much you put your body through, there's a certain point where your body will just inherently save its own life. And so Dana's right. There's no reason to put his two prize assets in that kind of life or death scenario. Cold water is triggering real cortisol and adrenaline because it is a life or death scenario. Your body is trying not to die. Sure. You're trying not to freeze. And it's just too much exposure. And for just foolish pride or for a badge of honor, Dana's 100% right.
Yeah, it wasn't a popular decision. But, you know, I mean, I do it a lot. I'm a great, I think it's great things right now. As you know, like a hot sauna, same type of deal, you know, put yourself state, be good for your health and everything. Yeah, that was a pretty ridiculous challenge with two athletes that are arguably worth a lot of money to this.
I thought Jimmy, as he first started saying that, you know, I thought he was going to say I'm a great athlete, so I thought you were going, I'm a great athlete, so I could do it.
I did notice during the last
37 minutes, I'll tell you that much.
I did notice.
All right, let's go hit a real quick break. And when we come back, more shenanigans from the.
This is Chuck Knoll, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. Coming to you live from the Apex. That was quick.
That was a very, very seamless link there.
Momentarily, some of the fighters for this weekend, fight night. And I guess your big question is, and we think we know, it's light heavyweight, yes. But Chris Daukaus will be walking in here momentarily. And
yeah, right.
We're not sure.
This is what you call top line journalism, folks. We're actually not sure what weight he's fighting at because for those of you that know the sport will know Chris as being a pretty big heavyweight, but fighting Khalil Rountree, who traditionally is a light heavyweight, but we're not entirely sure because normally media day is not on Thursday, so there isn't the amount of people here than the normal. So we're trying to find out, and hopefully we can find out before the big man gets in, and then if not, we're going to embarrass ourselves and ask her.
Well, no, we'll be able to tell as soon as he walks in.
Well, we will, because it'll be about a 40-pound
right.
difference.
Exactly. Matt, what are you making? You putting a car together over there, or what's going on?
Well, I heard earlier that Steve Lanay forgot his wallet, you know, so I'm just making sure that I have my wallet before I leave for Albuquerque in a couple hours. So just looking for it in the car, just making sure I have all my stuff.
Well, he proved that you can get on a plane without ID.
Really? I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a possibility.
He left his wallet at home. He had no ID, no money, and somehow he still got on the plane.
Did he have pizza in his hand? Because that's usually how I get in places without ID.
And you know how that went over with me because, you know, I'm waiting because we condense because we fly, you know, cheapo airlines. So we condense clothing. So we only have one carry on and I'm texting, where are you? We have to get on the plane. Finally, I'm like, screw it. I'm getting on the plane. I guess you're not coming. Well, I didn't know that he was naked with hands all over his body to make sure that he's not bringing anything on a plane. And then he gets all mad because I didn't respond. His phone calls to me came to my phone while we both were on the plane. Not just when I was on the plane, when we both were on the plane.
So you think he left his wallet at home on purpose so he could go through that experience?
Well, I don't think as much as he enjoyed the experience, because we've talked about it, I think that's his new ploy to have me pay for everything.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
I like it. Yep. Yeah. So, but I was not aware you could fly without an ID.
So I'm just going to give you the what is it, pre-claimer or, you know, whatever, that yep. If I'm able to pull off a big thing and go to Boston with you, you know, for yep. The Ultimate Fighter finale and the Sugar Shane fight, I'm going to lose my wallet on the night before. So just bring a lot of cash.
Got it. Oh, look at that. I just found my wallet. Nice.
See?
It was just under the seat in my car to exactly where I thought I left it, probably. And we're back on business. And I just want to say from the last segment when Jimmy was interviewing, Jimmy, you can call yourself the co-host, buddy. You were like, hey, this is Jimmy. You know, go ahead and identify the, you know, as co-host because you're now
national correspondent.
That's awesome.
I don't know if that was a big
one. You've earned it, Jimmy. You deserved my chair. I'm gonna slide over.
Your chair is just being kept warm, my friend. Your chair.
Well, no, it's still the same. I sit in the host chair. Jimmy's now in the co-host chair. There's now an empty seat, and then you sit next to the empty seat.
Perfect. Well, and then where do people with no ID sit? What row is that?
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but the disclaimer, going to hit a break here in what are we doing? We're going to, okay. My producer's cracked on here.
This is it.
All right, so we go to break in 3 minutes. You want to say hi, and then we'll go to break, or do you want to just chill for a second? Okay, well, then we'll do that. Top of the hour, we will be sitting down and talking about this weekend's fight with Chris Daukaus. But we'll say hi to him first. Let me turn on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I think we've answered the question.
We've answered the question. So the question was, Chris, because this has been a busy week at the Apex with the power slap and everything,
yeah.
Trying to get actual details of what weight you were fighting at.
Okay.
Right? It's been a genuine thing.
It's been a secret.
We're going, what do you mean he's fighting it? He's not fighting a heavyweight? We were like, what the hell? So anyway, we're back and forth. And we said, listen, we're going to embarrass ourselves when he comes in, or we're just going to know. And I think we know. So, yeah, so that's marvelous. You're looking in great shape, pal.
Thank you. Thank
looking
you.
Great
it.
Shape.
Feeling good.
So there we go. This is the kind of top-level journalism you get from us, too.
Well, you know, we jumped on, you know, the Wikipedia is always wrong. And,
yeah,
you know, we looked at the fight
wrong,
card,
yeah.
and the first thing it said, 205. I'm like, well, wait a second.
Yep.
I guess the cheesesteaks and everything, you don't eat them.
I don't eat them. I'm missing them. Trust me, I'm missing them.
Listen, just before we go to the break, before we'll get to the fight, we'll get to the to everything this week. There was a question that I was asked this week, and a friend of mine was over in Dubai and got taken out for a $2,000 steak. Would you, if money was not the option, pay $2,000 for a steak?
Yeah, why not?
You would?
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd give $2,000? I was like, no way.
Yeah, absolutely. In what other part of the world or in your time can you pay for a $2,000 steak?
No, but I'd rather pay for a $13 steak.
No, give me the $2,000 steak.
Randy, you?
The chance of me spending $2,000 on almost anything is nothing.
That's fair play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good... You know, I've seen your haircut.
Yeah, well, you know, we can talk about the haircut, but, you know, I've covered the Super Bowl,
yeah.
you know, for years. And at one time it was $400, and I'm like, who would pay $400 to go to a Super Bowl?
A lot of people.
Yeah, well, you can't even get them.
That's what? Grand?
I think it's somewhere between $800 and $1,000. Again, I haven't had a ticket, luckily, fortunately, on whatever. I wouldn't spend $1,000 for that.
It's crazy.
You know, I'd buy the TV. Yeah. Now I can watch the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And now I have the TV, you know. I'll tell you a really funny Jay Johnstone story. Jay Johnstone played for the Phillies. Yeah. Okay. So he's playing in Japan. I know we have 2 minutes. I'll tell it quickly. So he's playing in Japan, the whole team. I think you're allowed 2 Americans on the team. And if you know anything about Jay Johnstone, which you don't, you know, he's just out there, just a lunatic. He'll do anything.
Okay.
So a cockroach walks across the dugout floor.
Okay.
And one of the Japanese players said, hey, Jay, I'll give you $100 if you eat that cockroach. And Jay's like, I'm not going to do it for $100.
Yeah.
He goes, but if everybody gives me $100,
I'll do it.
He did it. He ate the cockroach, and he bought a big screen TV.
There you go.
It's pretty
easiest
fun.
Money here, man.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was a little bit of food.
You Americans are a funny bunch, you know. Aren't you? You are.
We're the best bunch.
Yeah, you know, for sure. All right, let's go hit this break. Top of the hour, we'll do our news. And when we come back, we'll talk about, and I know I'm going to turn Matt off so he can't, you know, respond. My brother from Philadelphia. And we'll talk to him when we return.
Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Earl Morrow, quarterback of the Colts and the Miami Dolphins during the championship years, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life,
If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.